In his book, Strangers in a Strange Land, Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia, now retired, cites a New York Times article a few years ago written by a philosophy professor, Justin McBrayer. It spoke about how his second grade son was assigned a project, and the project was to decide whether a statement was fact or opinion. So, for example, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Fact. But listen to this. Copying homework assignments is wrong. Cursing in school is inappropriate behavior. All men are created equal. So what do you think? Well, the answer, according to the school system, was those are all opinions. Now, frankly, I've had similar reports from teachers and students who go to our local schools, too. A student at Potomac Falls High School said that once his teacher said, cheating's okay as long as you don't get caught. Good heavens. So if there's neither a right or wrong, whose opinion is going to decide what prevails, what is acceptable? The one who has the power. Pope Benedict, right as he was beginning his pontificate, warned that a dictatorship of relativism will lead to a logic of power that will tyrannize society. We see that. Think, for instance, in our world today, that because we've lost the idea of a moral truth, or even truth itself, there are those who will impose by their power what we must believe as true, be it a politician, or it could be a media official, could be anyone, whoever has the power. Never forget that Vladimir Lenin was the first one to coin the phrase political correctness and to declare anybody who is not politically correct, meaning thinking with the Communist Party, as a deplorable and therefore needing to be purged from society. So with that, we believe, and there is, an absolute, universal, God-given truth. God is truth. God is love. God created. He created this physical world, this universe in which we live. We see a physical truth, an order, governed by laws. For instance, we know there's four seasons. It's not going to change. We know boiling points. We know the revolution of the planets around the sun and so on. Those are truths, physical truths. We can't change them otherwise. But there's also moral truths. God made us in his image. And therefore, he's implanted in our heart a truth that you and I can know because we have the gifts of reason and also will. Consider any human being, if that human being is really an honest person, will know that killing an innocent person is wrong, or stealing property is wrong. This is what we call the natural law, not the law of nature, the natural law, meaning it's true to our human nature to live this way. Of course, in the Old Testament, God did make it easy, because he did give the Ten Commandments to Moses. But for us, we even have it somewhat easier. We have Jesus. Jesus, the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the one through whom all things were made, as we profess in our creed. Therefore, if we want to look at what is right or wrong, what is the good to do, the evil to avoid, we look to Jesus. Remember last Sunday that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say I'm one of many ways, many truths, many lives and so on. No, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Warren Carroll, a great history professor, founder of Christendom College, once said, and it was emphasized over and over, truth exists because the incarnation happened. If we call ourselves Christians, we have a truth to live by. So remember then, given what our Lord taught last Sunday, what he teaches this Sunday. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. If we say we love God, we live by his truth. The two are inseparable. And in so doing, really, we're going to have the right love for ourselves, the right love for our neighbor. So given all of that, we look at the Ten Commandments. And let's pause and think about that, because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He came, as he said in the Sermon on the Mount, I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So it's good to think of this, look at these Ten Commandments, and even apply them to this unpleasant time in which we live. So think of the first three. Thou shalt not have any false gods. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Keep holy the Sabbath. We love God first and foremost, above all things. God is priority number one. This is why we do worship at Mass on Sunday. We keep God's name holy, especially through our prayer. We do pray. We read sacred scripture. We continue to study the faith. Frankly, I'm quite edified that even in this time of unpleasantness, so many people have watched the live streaming masses. And they even, as families, set up a little church at home in front of the television or computer, whatever. That's very beautiful. And that's a way for a family to keep that love of God present in their own lives. Also, families have taken better time, more time, to instruct their children in the faith. As we're closing out our religious education year, families have taken the time to diligently prepare their kids so that they can receive First Holy Communion when we come out of all of this. So much goodness. But then we move on, and we go to the fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, our Lord instituted the family. So we respect, as a family, mom and dad. Mom and dad have the obligation to take care of kids. I've heard from parents how, during this time, they're learning to be more like a family and to work together, but also enjoy life more together. Part of this, then, overflows to the human family, our neighbors. So we have to have that concern for them, to honor each person as we should. Therefore, again, very edified that we have neighbors being very mindful of the needs of other neighbors. I'm very grateful. A couple of parishioners have asked me, you know, does your mom need anything? My 94-year-old mom. We have our Knights of Columbus today who are taking care of our parish family by providing a pancake breakfast as best that they can. That's how we live the fullness of the commandment. Fifth, thou shalt not kill. So yes, all life is sacred. So a human being has dignity. Life is sacred from conception until natural death. Now, given this time of unpleasantness, be on guard. Because as our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, words can kill too. You may be getting some cabin fever right now, and impatience may be getting, or patience may be getting stretched. Be careful. Careful how you speak to each other. Words can hurt. And besides that, watch out for how you might try to find comfort. Our ABC stores, which have been deemed absolutely essential by our esteemed governor, are doing a booming business. Be very careful about how we find comfort, a comfort that could end up killing ourselves. We go on to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. So yes, we look to the sanctity of our human sexuality, the sanctity of marriage, and of marital love. Here again, during this time of unpleasantness, be very careful that with all the free time, we don't give in to the curiosity, the old surf the internet routine, and let's see what we find. Click onto this little thing that pops up and see what's there. Be very careful. St. Thomas More said, occupy your mind with good thoughts, or the enemy will fill them with bad ones. And Saint Benedict said, idleness is the enemy of the soul. This may well also be a very good time for you parents to sit down, especially with your older children, the teenagers, the college kids, and really talk about the human sexuality, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of marital love. We move on to the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. It's really saying a yes to justice, that we are going to be just, treat all people fairly, do what is right. And therefore, during this time, hoarding always is a sin, but we've seen hoarding. And so we have to be generous, generous to help others. Keep that in mind. The generous heart is truly a happy heart. And then finally, we look at, go back to the seventh commandment for you children. Don't steal your brothers and sisters' toys or clothes. It happens. That's stealing. Always ask before you take. And then, too, we have our eighth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Again, in this time, especially perhaps when there's more social media kind of contact, guard the tongue. Some things do not need to be said or talked about. Some things can just be idle gossip and even detraction. Be very careful. The last two commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So rather than looking at what others have, this is a time to truly be grateful. Despite perhaps whatever sufferings or sacrifices we've had to make, we are very blessed. Be grateful. Have that attitude of gratitude in your own heart. It also means, as a family, thinking about perhaps being more frugal, more thrifty. That doesn't mean cheap, but using things wisely, especially as we come out of all of this. So these are the commandments, and we could take more time. Therefore, always remember, God gave us these because He loves us. He wants us to be free. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to live in the image of His in which we are made. That's why we follow them. And they are the guide paths. I oftentimes think that they're like the guardrails, in a sense. So I remember back around 1968, before many of you were alive, that we took a trip in California to visit my few relatives there, and then drive down the coastline, stopping here and there. So started in San Francisco, down to Los Angeles. So we're driving one day, and it was between Monterey and Hearst Castle, San Simeon. Scenic Coast 1. Well, Scenic Coast 1 is a pretty tough drive. Lots of curves, narrow, and you look across the side, and there is the ocean, or just a drop. And I was thinking, thank God we have guardrails here. Well, about 3 in the afternoon, we're on our way to San Simeon, to the hotel, but the fog started rolling in. My father turned on the headlights. He told us to be quiet so we could concentrate. I'm in the back saying the rosary. In awe, it was scary. But I thought, thank God we have the guardrails. So consider, we live this life on a journey. And sometimes it's like driving through that fog. It's hard to see what is good, especially with all the temptation and all the media nonsense that goes on. But the commandments are the guardrails. Even though we may think at times, I just want to do what I want to do, think where we would be without those commandments. Just like, where would we be without the guardrails? Yes, we probably could have made it from Monterey to San Simeon without the guardrails. But quite frankly, I'd rather have the guardrails helping me make my journey. Same with the commandments for our journey of life. Also, with that in mind, never forget, the commandments are meant to be lived in their fullness. If you go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, to the third section, which is on morality, second part, it explicates each commandment. all the different moral issues we face today, the church teaches upon, based on a foundation that's been handed on since the time of the apostles. What did Jesus say at the Last Supper? He said, I will give you the Spirit of truth to guide you. The Spirit of truth, not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of flexibility and fluctuation, do whatever you want, the Spirit of truth. And this is why the church teaches. It's also why that if we do sin, the church forgives. Christ gave us sacraments so that getting our life back on the right road, back to the guardrails, we can be reconciled and keep moving forward. In all, St. Peter in our second passage today reminded us that we are called to sanctify ourselves, to be a living witness of the Lord in this life, to be known as a real Christian, not in name only, but living the Christian life as best we can. Because St. Peter reminds us, as we present ourselves to others now, one day we present ourselves to Almighty God. Will He be able to say, yes, you've kept the commandments. You've really strived to lead a holy life. I know you really do love me. May God bless you.